Well, good morning, everybody. Congratulations to our graduates. We're so glad you guys are here, and welcome to those of you who are graduating today. We have a picnic after church, so encourage you to, if you haven't prepared for it or whatever, that's fine. Just go to your local KFC or Popeyes or wherever and grab some things. Go to Armco Park, Shelter 32, and we'll be going right up there after church today. So hope to see you guys then. But we're in a summer series of messages that were right out of Hebrews chapter 11. And this chapter is often called the Faith Hall of Fame. And today we're going to look at our next hero in the Faith Hall of Fame, and his name is Enoch. Now, I've been preaching almost every Sunday since 1992, and in case you're wondering, that is a long time. And all of those years, I have never preached a message on Enoch out of the Old Testament. But before I talk about him, I want to talk about you for just a minute. I want you to think about the end of your life. It's your funeral, it's after, it's over, and people are standing around, and they're eating potato salad, and they're talking about you. And so what are they saying about you? She was so kind. He was such a hard worker. She was a wonderful mom. She was such a good cook. Remember those scones she made? In fact, they've got some over there at the buffet. Let's go grab a scone or two. He was such a visionary. Or will they say things like, you know what, that guy was such a stinker. She was such a nag. He was so self-absorbed. What are they going to talk about you? What will they say? Will they talk about your accomplishments, or will they talk about your character? Well, I want to give you one today right out of the life of Enoch. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. I mean, wouldn't that be a great thing at the end of your life for people to say about you? Regardless of all the accomplishments that you have, whatever you've done in your life, that individual walked with God. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to be remembered for? And most of the people in the Faith Hall of Fame, they were known for doing something of faith. I mean, Noah built a boat. Abraham packed up his family and left everything. Moses confronted Pharaoh. But Enoch was not known for something big that he did. He was known for how he walked. He walked with God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6 tells us about him. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, there's two verses in Hebrews. Now, there's a little bit more in Genesis. Genesis chapter 5 has four verses about Enoch. And it says, when Enoch lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Some of you guys that just started AARP, don't give up hope, all right? Don't give up hope. You might still be able to have a kid. But after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. So today, we're going to look at the life of Enoch. We're going to learn some lessons out of his life and out of the few verses that we have about him. And we're going to learn about how we can be somebody who also walks with God. And I just want to tell you right up front, walking with God pleases God. Walking with God pleases God. Look back at Hebrews 11, 5. Enoch was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then Genesis 5, 24, Enoch walked faithfully with God. So Hebrews tells us that Enoch pleased God. Genesis tells us why he pleased God. He pleased God because he walked with God. So the way that you please God is to walk with him. Walking with God means you're not just giving him a nod, you're giving him control. You're building your life around his word and him. You're inviting him into every direction, every decision, every habit, every value. It is not just belief. You're aligning yourself with Almighty God. And so if you're walking with God, and if that pleases God, then what is the opposite? The opposite is true too. If you're not walking with God, then you're not what? Pleasing God. You may be doing some religious things. You may be maybe trying to check some boxes. Maybe you're trying to perform in some way, but God's not after that. He's after relationship, not performance. Now, the New Testament phrase for walking with God is walk in the Spirit. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh." How do you walk with God? What does that mean? Walking with God means that I'm going to bring God into every situation. I'm going to have Him have influence on every step that I take in my life, every direction, every detour. It means that God is part of your decision-making. He's part of your calendar. He's part of your schedule. He's part of your relationships. Every move you make, every moment that you live, every meandering that you do, God is attached to it. You're aligning your steps with His direction. And He becomes your compass, not just your crisis hotline. Enoch walked with God. He didn't just visit Him on Sundays or pray a prayer occasionally before a meal, or just every now and then. Enoch walked with God. And can I just tell you guys, who you walk with shapes who you become. One of the things we say to our graduates today is, we know that's true. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that good company, bad company corrupts good character. And that's true. How many of you have told your kids that? Be careful who you hang out with. Got to be careful who you're spending time with. And Enoch, the Bible said, he walked with God. That shaped his character. The very fact that he walked with God began to change how he thought, how he spoke, how he led his family, how he treated people, how he suffered, how he lived, and ultimately how he was remembered. Walking with God changes your values. You begin to crave the things of God more than the things of this world or this culture. You prioritize character over comfort. Purpose over popularity. So let me just ask you a question. How's your walk with God? Not your church attendance, not your spiritual background, not your Instagram bio, your walk. Are you walking with God every day in relationship? And I love that picture of walking with God, because to walk with somebody means you're going the same direction. It means you're going at the same pace. You're close enough to talk to each other. I love that idea. You're not running. You're not out of breath. You're not trying to keep up. You're walking. And when you walk, you talk. You plan. You dream. You communicate. You tell stories. You catch up. You tell God what's going on in my day-to-day life. You pray for wisdom. You live with integrity. You sense that He's saying these things to you. And you live it consistently. Walk with God. The second thing we see is that walking with God is not just for a moment, it's for a lifetime. We're told about Enoch that he walked with God for 300 years. That is not a weekend retreat. That is a lifelong relationship. And Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 says, "When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters." Now, his name, Enoch, means dedicated one. And he definitely lived up to his name, because he walked with God for 300 years on a daily basis. That is a long time. Now, some of you might be asking an obvious question. How did they live so long back then? 300 years? 365 years? Some scholars suggest that maybe what happened was because God created us to really live forever in the garden, that he said that this impact of sin on our lives would cause us to die, that there would begin to be disease and suffering. And maybe because we were so early in the game and there wasn't so many chronic diseases, people lived longer. Some people say, no, it was not until the flood that changed. The flood changed the atmosphere of the earth. And because of that, that impacted how long people lived. Some people say, no. It's basically because God may be in his own plan and purpose. When he told Adam and Eve, "I want you to populate the earth, be fruitful and multiply," that maybe God in his own purpose and own plan in the early days, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Seth and his family, and as they began to populate the earth, God allowed them to live longer. I don't know all of the answers to that, but I believe that that's what he did. And how many of you could say, "I'm glad that I don't have to live 365 years. Anybody glad about that? I wake up some mornings, I'm like, what happened last night? Was I in a prize fight? Did I run a marathon? Why does everything hurt this morning? All I did was lay there, and I'm in pain today. Can you imagine being 365 years old? What would that be like? But can you imagine walking with God for 365 years? A lot of times people think that being a Christian is simply about being converted. It's about a moment in time. It's about making a decision, being baptized, securing your hell insurance. Well, there is a part to Christianity which is a moment of belief. It is, in fact, Hebrews 11, 6 says, anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. So there is that. You believe that God exists. You believe that Jesus Christ came to the earth. You believe that he died for your sins, that he resurrected from the grave on the third day. You believe that he forgives your sins, that he offers you eternal life, and that if you repent of your sin and confess him as Lord, if you believe in your heart that he is who he says he is, and you're baptized into Christ, all your sins are washed away. You're renewed to live a new life. And that is a moment of belief. But as I ask people in Starting Point class, one of our values is that you would explore faith in God. And I always ask people in Starting Point, is that a moment or is that a lifetime? Of course, the answer is obvious. It's a lifetime. We're going to live a lifetime with God, exploring faith in him, understanding who he is. In just the good times? No. The bad times too. Some of us like to walk with God when it's easy, when we feel good, and when things are going well, but when things start going bad, we might blame God or say, how could a loving God do this to people? And we become angry. But to live and walk with God for 300 years requires determination and commitment and a belief in the relationship. Not only that, you have to believe that he also rewards those who earnestly seek him. He has rewards for us, forgiveness of sins, blessing in this life, purpose in this life, power in our day-to-day existence, and of course, eternity with him. You say, well, how do I do it? How do I seek God? You know what Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says? You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. This is not some big equation. How do you get to know anybody in your life? Spend time together. How many of you would say you're masters at hide and seek? Some of you feel so good. The moment is so exciting when it's like, we're going to count to 10. We'll come find you. And you know you have the perfect hiding spot, exactly where nobody will find you. And your greatest moment in that time is when they come into the very room that you're in and you stop breathing and you make sure that nobody's able to find you. And they literally are hovering right over the spot where you are. And that moment of just complete happiness is when they walk out of the room saying, we can't believe it. We're never going to find that guy. And you just love that. And you're so determined to stay there. And they don't find your body for 3 weeks until the smell starts to happen because you're so determined you're not going to be found. And there you are hiding. God's not like that. God's not somebody who's just like hiding away. You can't find me. I don't want you to find me. And I find joy in the hiding. The Bible says, God said, you will seek me when you find, and you will find me when you see me with all of your heart. The joy is in the finding. So walk with God over a long period of time. And how do you do that? You just seek him every day. God, I want to know you today. God, I want to know you more today. Just wake up in the morning saying, God, I want to walk with you today. God, I want to speak with you throughout the day. I want you to speak to my heart. Give me direction. Give me guidance. Get into his word. Help be directed by God. He wants you to find him. Number three, I would say walking with God means you will often be walking against the culture. Walking with God often means you will walk out of step with the culture because you're listening to a different drumbeat. You're following a different voice now, a different rhythm, a different set of values. The New Testament actually talks about Enoch as well. And this is the last place where we see him talked about, but it's in the book of Jude. And it's verse 14 and 15. Jude is such a short letter that it really only has verses. And it says about Enoch, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them and all the ungodly acts they have committed in their unrighteousness and ungodliness.
and all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So Jude picks up on this guy from Genesis who prophesies against the people of his time that they are living ungodly lives. And he tells us that Enoch is the seventh from Adam because there were two Enochs in Adam's family. Genesis chapter 4 tells us about one of them. It says, Cain made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. Now, Josh last week wanted me to mention and correct something that he said last week. He realized that he actually got his Enochs confused, and so he wanted me to tell you that that's the last time he'll ever use Connor's sermon notes in one of his own messages. And but Enoch literally was the son of Cain. He had a city named after him. He had a monument built to make his legacy. He was celebrated by men. But Jude is talking about a different one. And Jude wants you to know, I'm talking about the other guy. Not Cain's son, but Seth's son. I'm not talking about the one that had a monument and city built to him. I'm talking about the one who walked with God. I don't want you to get confused, because just because they have the same name doesn't mean they have the same nature. And just because someone carries a Christian label doesn't mean they carry a Christ-like lifestyle. You can have the same name, but not the same nature. Cain's Enoch had an earthly recognition. His name was stamped on a city. But Enoch, the seventh from Adam, didn't have monuments in the world. He had a relationship with God. And Genesis, again, says Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. So the question is, who do you want to know your name? You can live for people and build a name for yourself, have influence and accolades and applause, or you can live for Almighty God and have your name known in heaven. And Enoch, by the way, was not some secret agent of God. He wasn't somebody who just walked with God quietly and never did anything. In fact, Jude says this guy prophesied against the ungodliness of his day. He wasn't afraid to speak truth in a culture that hated it. He wasn't just living some quiet lifestyle, sitting behind some monk in a cave, enjoying his relationship with God. Enoch walked with God and stood for God. He was a prophet of God then. He was a proclaimer of God then. He was calling out the people of his day for their sin and warning them of the judgment of God. Enoch not only walked with God, he stood for God. He let the ungodly know, this isn't right. God calls that sin. That's unrighteousness. The judgment of God is coming. And watch this. He didn't stand by just hating on people. He did it because he was honoring God. And if you're going to walk with God, you can't be neutral about what God calls unrighteousness. You've got to take a stand. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? You cannot walk with God and disagree with him about sin and truth, righteousness, or holiness. If you're going to walk with God, you agree with God. Joshua one time said, I don't care who you follow. I can't control what you all do. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And Enoch made that kind of choice. He didn't compromise with ungodliness to be popular. He didn't dilute the truth to be accepted. Because when you try to live in both worlds, when you try to please men and please God, then you have no real direction and no real peace. Walking with God means I'm going to stand up for the things of God. I'm going to expect that I'm living for the truth. And Enoch made his position very clear in his generation. And I love that about Enoch. And by the way, the crazy thing about Enoch was, the amazing thing was, that he was then taken up to be with the Lord. By the way, the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2 reminds all of us to not be conformed any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, his perfect will. When you walk with God, you are more able to clearly see his will, his direction, and his plan for your life. Walking with God means walking against the grain of the world, but in step with God. The last thing I would say is walking with God leaves a legacy of faith. And this is the one that I think strikes me the most. And it's the question I get more than any other for parents today. Young parents especially are like, how do we raise godly kids in an ungodly generation? How do we do it? I mean, their influencers are so crazy, and their cell phones, the stuff that they're reading. It used to be you were influenced by your parents primarily, and then maybe your grandparents, and then at that point, your peer group as well. But those are the ones you went to the question to get questions answered. Maybe somebody you respected in your life. But today, so many questions are answered through what they see on TikTok and social media. And they're learning so many different things that are so often not filled with truth. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, in the New King James Version, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And this verse tells us two powerful things. First, it tells us that Enoch was walking with God and he pleased him so deeply, he didn't even have to experience death. He was there and then he was gone, you know? Anybody ever see Avengers Endgame? You know, like one time they were there, suddenly they're gone. Everybody's like, I don't know what happened to Dad. Where did he go? Except in Endgame, it happened to like half the population. This was very unusual. Here Enoch is walking with God, and suddenly he was gone. He was just with God. He didn't lie on a bed waiting for his last breath. He didn't have a funeral. He didn't leave behind a tombstone. One moment he was there walking with God. The next moment he was walking with God face to face. It is as if God said, we've been walking together for so long, Enoch, 300 years. Why don't you just come home with me today? And that's what he did. He's walking with God till the very end, until that final step from earth to eternity. And by the way, that's not too different than us. Yes, we will die. But one of the beautiful things about living in Christ and walking with him is one day when we come to that moment, we're literally going to be ushered from this life to the next. What a reward for the faithful walkers, people who follow Christ, that we will be able to be so close to the Lord here on earth that he simply puts us and pulls us closer to him for eternity. But this verse also reveals that Enoch was living, he lived a testimony. Over those 300 years that he walked with God, Enoch didn't just talk about faith. He didn't just live quietly in his heart. His whole life bore witness to something supernatural. He was with him, and everybody around him could tell his life was literally a testimony. And so what is your life like? Is it a testimony of faith? Enoch's story was a testimony, not just to him, but to future generations. I love this about Enoch because his story didn't die with him. In fact, it blessed generations. His great-grandson was Noah, a man who stood against the wickedness of his generation as well, and who the Bible says he walked with God. In fact, look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. It says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he what? Walked with God. That is not just a coincidence, that is a legacy. And what a better legacy than that, that one generation would live with God, walk with God, the next generation, and then the next generation, a great-grandson, would be able to walk with God. Maybe Noah heard the stories of his great-great-grandpa or his great-great-grandpa Enoch. Maybe the stories of how Enoch lived and maybe how he left. And maybe that shaped some of Noah's own faith when the world around him had lost its way. Maybe Enoch's consistency became Noah's courage. Maybe his walk was challenged by the fact that he had someone in his line that lived the faith. And think about that in your own life. Who led you to Christ? Maybe it was a praying grandmother. Maybe it was a father who stayed faithful when everything was falling apart. Maybe it was a teacher or a mentor who showed up when it mattered most. So maybe it was somebody who just walked quietly and steadily and consistently with God and made you just want to do the same. I just can't wait because that person, I really look up to that person and how they walk with God. Walk today like somebody is watching you, friends, because they are. Your obedience is somebody else's inspiration. Your consistency is someone else's comeback story. So the steps that you take today shape somebody else's tomorrow. Your children, your coworker, your friends, they're watching how you walk. Never underestimate the impact of a faithful, steady, Spirit-led life. And you may not even see the fruit of that in your own life, but your faith is planting seeds in somebody else's life. And maybe generations from now, they'll say, you know what? I'm living a faithful life, and I remember the courage of my loved one, or I've heard the stories. You do not need a platform to leave a legacy. You just have to consistently walk with God. Someday, somebody's going to tell your story, and someday they're going to stand around at the end of your life, and they're going to say, well, they didn't have the nicest house. Maybe they didn't have the nicest car, but man, did they walk with God. And when they did, everything changed in their life. Listen, guys, walking with God is not just a biblical idea. It is a lifestyle of intimacy and relationship with God. It's not a visit. It's not a Sunday morning only habit. It is a way of life. It is waking up every day with a heart that says, God, I want to walk with you today. And for our graduates, isn't that what we really, really want? For our kids to grow up through our program and understanding what Scripture is and who God is. For those who are in student ministry and in children's ministry, those of us who are parents, isn't that what we want for them? No matter the accolades that they received, as great as graduation is, or as one of our student pastors in the past said when it was student day, congratulations to those of you who have done what 98% of our culture have done already. Amen. It's great. Good job. Good job. And he celebrated them with that. But how many of us can say what we really want for you is when you go to college and you face all the pressure and you have somebody who's trying to ask you to do things you shouldn't do and lead your life in a way that you know is not going to lead to good things, that in the middle of that, that you would be somebody who would walk with God. I mean, that is what's outstanding. No matter what the accolades are that you receive, no matter what you accomplish in this life, when you walk with God, that is the thing that is appealing to people around you, because that is the legacy of faith. That is your reputation. That is your testimony. God is way more interested in your presence than he is your performance. Walking with God isn't about checking some religious box. It's about consistent, intentional connection with him. So you need to ask yourself, am I doing life for God or am I doing life with God? Am I trying to impress God from a distance or am I living in relationship with him? Really, walking with God is a day-to-day journey, and there are a lot of paths that you can take in life. There are a lot of people, a lot of ideologies, a lot of agendas you can walk with, but if you're not walking with God, then you're not walking by faith, because walking with God means walking with someone you cannot see, yet you trust more than anything else. It aligns your life with his life, your steps with his step, your heart with his heart, your words with his will. You're living in response to who God is, in his purpose. That is the story of Enoch. And I think that's the reason that Enoch is included in the Hall of Faith. For one reason and one reason only, he walked with God. And God, that's what we want. I mean, really, that out of everything that we could accomplish, the greatest athlete or the greatest performer or the greatest, the one who made the most or had the greatest job or led the greatest company or all the things that we could get in this world, how simple it would be and how beautiful it would be to just simply say, God, in all these things, the first and primary thing that we want is to walk with you. We just want to walk with you. And the beautiful thing about walking is there's closeness. There's holding hands. And God, I'm so grateful that when we walk, we know we're going to not be perfect. We know we're going to stumble. We're going to fall. That's when you're so close, you just help us back up. Let's keep walking. You stumble again. Let's keep going. Let's keep walking. Let's get to know each other more. Let's build our relationship. So God, that's what we pray for everybody who's here today. God, we just ask that we would be walking with you throughout every day of our life. Pray for that for our graduates, God. Give them that vision in their life that the greatest thing they will ever accomplish is walking with God closely. We pray for that in Christ's name.